الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, these gatherings are for no other purpose but a reminder for each one of us, for myself first and foremost, for all of us. And the reminder is what we are in need of all the time. A person has to keep refreshing the messages and the lessons that are given to us in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by constantly refreshing these lessons, there is hope inshallah something will come into our heart to inspire us to now translate those lessons into action. That is the objective, that we become practical on the lessons that have been given to us repeatedly, that we have spoken about repeatedly, that we have heard repeatedly. But how this can come into our lives, that is the objective. One very concise hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was recited. Hazrat Uqbah bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an says one person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked a question. The Sahaba Ikram, Allah Ta'ala give them the greatest rewards, Allah Ta'ala bless them with the highest stages. They asked such questions to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such very concise questions, that each question sometime was an ocean of, it opened the door to the ocean of knowledge. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's reply was such that in each of those words of that reply is enough for a person's hidayat. Here also this, on this occasion somebody came and asked a question. The question was very, very short, very concise question. But this question is relevant today like it was relevant before, and perhaps it was never as relevant today as it was previously. And with each passing day, its relevance will be increased. And this relevance will remain till Qiyamah. This is how relevant this question is. And its relevance, as mentioned, will increase with every passing day. The question, very, very concise. Two words in the question. The question was, Man Najat? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the means of gaining salvation? And what was being referred to was obvious, that there are so many challenges that come about, so many fitnas that will engulf people, so many new situations will come about. So how does a person save himself in all these things? What is the way out of it? Because a person who is conscious of the destination he wants to reach, one is a person is just driving around aimlessly, walking around aimlessly, he doesn't know where he's heading to, doesn't know what where he wants to get to. So if he gets deviated somewhere also, he won't even know what happened. He doesn't even have a direction. So if he gets deviated, he doesn't know whether he's going somewhere or not going anywhere. Either way, he's just floating around. But somebody has his destination in place, he knows where he wants to get to, and the slightest deviation comes and he realizes that something is not on course, he becomes concerned immediately. The Sahaba Ikram, what can be said about the extent of their sensitivity to their destination? how focused they were. And therefore they were all the time concerned that how can we reach this destination safely? There mustn't be any problem on the way. You mustn't get derailed anywhere. So he asked this question, man najat, that in the face of the fitnas that will come, all the challenges that will come, how does a person gain salvation? Now, if we think about in this time and age also, the kind of fitnas that are prevalent from every direction. Previously, fitnas were confined outdoors. Nowadays, there's fitnas outdoors, there's fitnas indoors. Previously, a person wanted to get involved. He planned and plotted to get involved in so many different kinds of haram. He needed months of preparation, and he probably had to travel hours to some destinations to get involved in those harams, in those acts of vice and sin. And now, he comes home. Many a person, Allah forbid, Allah protect us, that if he's planning some haram, he comes home. Because at the press of buttons, then now he's involved in whatever he wants to do. Now this is the kind of situation that has come about. Fitnas at every juncture, fitnas all around, and ever increasing challenges. Now the person who is faced with all these situations, the same question, man najat. How does a person gain safety from all this? So Rasulullah ﷺ gave a very, very concise prescription. And this is kalam and nubuwat. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, perhaps somebody tells us that one mountain moved from his place is believable. But the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's some doubt in it that this is not applicable, na'uzubillah. That is unbelievable. That can never be. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are inspired by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he speaks is of the wahi and inspiration that Allah ta'ala blessed. Either it comes as a form of wahi in the Quran Sharif, or the wahi that comes in the form of the Hadith Sharif. So Rasulullah's prescription for the safety, for the protection from all these fitnas, for a person to be able to reach his destination safely. First thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, Amlik alayka lisanak. Now this might sound very, very strange to us. We're talking about such major fitnas from every direction. And now somebody is asking for the prescription to be saved from all these problems and fitnas and difficulties. And the first part of the prescription Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives, amlik alayka lisanak, control your tongue. Obviously fitnas are of different types, so many fitnas of every type, but if a person just stops to think that in a day, in a week, in a month maybe, if he sits down to write and identify how many challenges came up of some sort or the other, whether at work, whether at home, whether with sometimes some friend, some colleague, where sometimes something or the other happens somewhere, something happens at home, something happens in the workplace, something happens somewhere else. How often it has been because somebody has said something out of turn. Somebody just said something thoughtlessly, just uttered something without thinking. That resulted in a reaction. That reaction provoked something from the opposite side again. And one word that was said without being given sufficient thought beforehand, that word started off a war of words. And one thing leads to another, before one knows, relationships are being broken, people are at loggerheads with one another. And everything now is at the press of a button. One moment now, something happened between two people, some little argument, and the next person puts it on his, some social media group, so So now 100 people came to know what happened between two people. So everybody is giving the input. So everybody is now adding to that fire. And something that would have been very easily resolved now becomes almost impossible to resolve because so many people are involved in it. Now that little issue between spouses, which would have been forgotten 10 minutes later, but in that fit of anger, somebody went and passed it on to the next person and that to the 50 people. Now everybody got involved in it, it became impossible to resolve. But it started off with what? Amlik alayka lisanak. And nowadays the extension of the tongue, the fingertips. Forever typing something or the other, that's the extension of the tongue now in this zamana. That a person must control his fingertips. And the extent of damage that social media has caused to many a relationship, to many family, the peace of many families, to many other situations, this is perhaps has never happened in this manner before. Little things now become major things because everything must get plastered somewhere. Everything must get advertised for the whole world. And as a result, and it all comes back down to this, Amlik alayka lisanak. Now this is a fitna, a very great fitna, that is engulfing our societies. But if we really look at it in the light of this hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. Now somebody was upset about something, so he puts it on social media. Now he put it on social media, so somebody else now read it. They had no idea about what happened. So now they decide that they should do something about it. How they decide to do something about it in a negative way? Pick up the phone and now start giving their side of it to somebody. How could you do this? But did you know the facts and the reality? Now the fight started between the third party now. This is an everyday occurrence, every other day occurrence. So Amlik alayka lisanak. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, control your tongue and in the zamana control the extension of the tongue. There are things which don't need to be given out anywhere. And it will die its own death. Then, this tongue, as small as it is, it can bring so much good, it can cause so much of harm as well. That is why the mashayikh, their very famous statement, pehle tol phir bol. First weigh it, meaning, think about the consequences of what's going to be the consequences of this statement. I'm going to say something, how is it going to turn out? How it will be received? What will be the outcome? After thinking, then speak. But unfortunately, one of the things that the brake fluid dries up quickest is of the tongue. And there's absolutely no brakes. Many a person says that, well, it's impossible to, for example, again, among the very serious maladies and problems of the tongue, speaking vulgarities. How much of fitna this causes, let alone fitna. How many times this has distanced people from deen. In the workplace, somebody is subjected to vulgarities. Now he's being subjected to vulgarities by who? By his Muslim employer. So now he wants to know, but is this what your religion teaches? What has this done to him? It's distanced him from deen. That is this the way? One person said that, oh, you don't understand how it works in the business. He says, if you come there, you might do the same. Now, these are all shaitan's tricks to make a person feel, don't worry, he's justified. Everybody will do the same. So shaitan will put something or the other as an excuse. So he'll put it on anybody. No, no worry, everybody does the same. So if everybody does the same, for me to do the same is also fine. One person says that, no, when, see, okay, I know how it goes, and I don't swear, I don't use any vulgarities in the business place. But then afterwards, when I'm driving home, I'm alone in my car, I just can't help it. I have to let everything out. And for the next 5 minutes, but I'm alone that time, don't worry about it. So I said, why, for that 5 minutes, if you read istighfar, what would that have been earning you? Okay, you want to vent something. So Lord, just for the sake of venting something, could you not just scream then? Scream, fine. Who's going to talk? You alone. Why you have to swear? Why you have to use vulgarities? That tongue which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave you to take His name with. One poet says in Persian, the words are not in mind now, but he says that, if I wash my tongue with musk and amber, I still don't think it's clean enough and worthy enough to take the Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After washing it with musk and amber, then too it's not yet worthy enough. But it is Allah Ta'ala's grace. Allah Ta'ala allows us to still take His name, take the Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy. Otherwise, our filthy tongues and taking the pure name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is only Allah Ta'ala's grace that we don't become dumb in that moment. That our power of speech is not snatched away in that moment. Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah Ta'ala allows us to continue using this tongue and to keep taking His pure name and reciting Durood Sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now this becomes the end result of this misuse of the tongue. And yet a person just controls his little tongue. Again, in the light of this Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is step one for this najat. Let alone saving oneself from so many problems, it will now become a means of now using this tongue correctly, because he's not using it for the wrong things, he'll start saying the right things. He's not using it in the wrong way, he'll start using it in the right way. So now it will become a means of dawah to people. One person many years ago, just shortly after Hazrat Mohammed Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali passed away, so he mentioned that he had employed somebody to do some work, whatever, some building kind of work it was. So the person came, and now in his normal style, he came and he just started talking to him and just shouting out instructions and whatever else he wanted to say in a rush. And he went away. The next day he came, well, he was perhaps in a good mood or something. So he says he spoke to him in a very cheerful manner, spoke to him nicely and so on. And this person is a non-Muslim laborer, whatever he was, a tiler or something. So he had no idea that this person knew Hazrat Maulana or anything, the employer, the person who took him on a job. So now when he came the next day and he's speaking to him in this very calm manner and a little bit cheerfully and asked him how you are and so on. So after the little bit of conversation, this person says to him, he says, today you're talking like Maulana Yunus Patel. Now he's a person without iman, but he noticed something somewhere. He might have interacted with Hazrat Maulana somewhere. And that left an impression in his heart and mind. That impression that got left in his heart and mind, it was just the interaction, how he was spoken to. Those words touched his heart. The manner in which he was spoken to touched his heart. And now that came back to mind. But now this is the lesson that we have to take. People are observing. Not everybody will say something. That person, because of that salary at the end of the month, he's not going to say anything. But there's a lot registering inside. And that comes out on occasion. It surfaces from time to time. If we left the right impressions, not for ourselves, not for people to be impressed with us. Allah Ta'ala has given us this Mubarak Deen. We have to become inviters with our actions to this Mubarak Deen. And the very, very great way of this invitation is how we interact, what we speak, what kind of words we use. So in any case, this is the first message Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. Amlik alayka lisanak. Then the second aspect Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned on this note of amlik alayka lisanak, just one more thing comes to mind, that we are discussing this prescription of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one on this prescription, obviously this is where everything comes from, the kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the fountainhead. On one occasion, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to his son that out of the 4,000 advices I gave you over time, today I'm selecting 4 from the 4,000. And you hold on to this 4, this is the cream of everything. So now obviously when this came from Kalam and Nubuwat, number one, it's going to come number one here also. On top of the list, he said to him, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي مَجَالِسِ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ. When you are with people, then control your tongue. So wherever it is, whether at home, whether in the workplace, wherever, to control the tongue. Many a person feels that it is his right to just now say anything to anyone, and they must just accept it. I had a hard day today, so now you must just accept it. So if I had a hard day, you must have a hard evening. That's the insaf. That is the justice now. If I had a bad time outside, you must have a bad time inside. It's not fair that if I had a problem outside and you got no problem inside. This is the lopsided justice that we have. So in any case, he also, on the top of the list out of 4,000, he says, I'm selecting four today. That four, one, number one on top of the list, that control your tongue. The second thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your home be sufficient for you. Let your home be sufficient for you. What does this mean, home being sufficient? Does the home being sufficient mean that it must be now very, very big, palatial home? So it's not going to be necessarily a big home for everyone. Somebody will have a bigger home, somebody not such a big home. But that home should be sufficient that a person feels at home within his home. And his heart is not yearning to be here and there and everywhere. Yes, there is some need. There is a need of dini need. Obviously, he has to go for salah, then he must go. There's some other dini work. He's going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He's going for some other, he's going into the company of the Ahlullah, the Mashayikh. He's going to do some other welfare work, whatever, any dini taqaza. He's going to fulfill the needs of dunya. He's going to his job, he's going to his profession, he's going to his business. Whatever other day-to-day needs they might be, fine, well and good. But this becomes the, when this becomes the situation, that home is never good enough. A person to find comfort and relaxation, he must be somewhere else. That he will never be able to be comfortable at home. So now somewhere else he has to be, then where? So now where will he go to? So he has to be somewhere or the other. But now when this becomes a need, then any place and every place will be fine. It doesn't matter what kind of fitna is taking place in there. Doesn't matter what kind of nudity and all kinds of evil and vice is prevalent there. But now he has to be somewhere. The whole world is everywhere. So how can I be now holed up in my house? I got to go somewhere also. So now already the bookings will start. Now the bookings will be for where? How many bookings will be for places which are completely above board? The bookings will be for anywhere and everywhere. Wherever the whole world is touring, we must tour also. What kind of situations will be prevalent there? What kind of fitnas will be going on? Whether a person's iman will be safe by the time he finishes off from there? All these things are given very, very little regard. How often this has happened? People went very excitedly, very, very excitedly on a holiday, overseas holiday, and elaborate preparations and everything done in style, and upon return, that marriage broke. This has happened on several occasions. Why? Because now that holiday atmosphere, so now holiday atmosphere, everybody must have a good time, everybody must enjoy themselves, so now there's going to be restrictions, that this place is not in order now, there's all fitna taking place here, and there's nudity here, and there's music there, and there's no parda involved here. So then, where's the fun now? Where do you go? So leave all the restrictions now, let everything be. So all the restrictions are dropped, all the inhibitions are dropped. And then now, if you're going to maintain parda and so on, it'll spoil the fun. So everybody becomes one big family. That whole crowd that went together all become one big family. And that one big family became the result of families breaking. These are the unfortunate and tragic realities. So, when this becomes a kind of need, these are shaitani needs. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, "Wal yasa'ka baytuk." There is a need, genuinely a need of dunya also, in order, no problem. Need of deen, there's no question about that. But a person's home should be home. The beautiful dua that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, which is the masnoon dua at the time of wudu. Person making wudu should be making this dua. And this dua can be recited at the time of washing every limb. What a concise dua. And everything of dunya and akhirat is all in it. That a person making wudu now, he's washing his limbs. And Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi, wassi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. Deen and dunya, everything in it. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi, ya Allah, forgive my sins. A person whose sins are forgiven, then what is left? He's got everything. He's got the maghfirat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then he's got everything. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. And then wa wassi' li fi dari. The same lesson. Ya Allah, make my home sufficient for me. That my heart feels at home within my home. That my home is not just a house for me. But my house becomes a home for me. House is a structure. But the home is, they say, the home is where the heart is. Many a times the person is in the lap of luxury, but the heart is not there. Something is missing. That sukoon is gone. The tranquility is out. We have to connect again. Something is missing. Something got disconnected. So now because of that being disconnected from somewhere, that which should be flowing through is not coming. We got disconnected from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that sukoon that comes from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that's not being achieved. We are losing out on that. As a result now, we don't know what to do, where to go. So now the person is trying to fill this void in some artificial way. But artificial things can only give artificial pleasure. It's good enough to look at. But you can't do anything beyond that. After 1 minute, you're tired of it. You want something else. So in any case, the same message in this dua. وَسِعْ لِي فِي دَارِي. Ya Allah, make my home sufficient for me. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِ. Ya Allah, grant me barakat in my rizq. Dunya and akhirat, everything came in this. So this concise dua is a reminder for us, every wuzu, that this is what we should be aspiring for. This maghfirat. And that home becomes home. And barakat. One is kasrat. An abundance. But if that abundance is without barakat, that will become abundant problems. And if it is abundant with barakat, nurun ala nur. And if it is a little also with barakat, it will get all a person's work done. So the barakat is a thing to aspire for. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us this lesson, wal yasa'aka baytuk. But then, as we mentioned right at the beginning, unfortunately nowadays fitna's outside, fitna's inside. So to keep that home a sanctuary, a person will have to keep it safe from the means of the fitna. If the means of fitna come into the home, then the home will become fitna also. So there's no need to elaborate on all that. What has become the source of all the fitnas? Allah Ta'ala protect us. These are becoming such great problems for us in society, the kind of situations is bringing about. These are things we can no more take chances with. Many a person complains that I just keep slipping and falling into the same thing. But if a person is going to sit next to the fire all the time, and then he's going to keep trying to douse the flames on that are coming onto his clothes and his body, how long is he going to do that? He's going to put off one flame or something, spark fell on one hand. In the meantime, something fell on the other hand and something is burning his clothes. He has to run away from the fire. He has to move himself away from the source of the problem. So the smartphone, if it has become a problem for somebody, then the smart thing to do is to be without it. How often are we going to burn ourselves in the same place, repeatedly burn ourselves, and then cry about the same problem? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's, the four-point plan and the prescription that he gave for a person to safely journey through this path. Very, very simple. Very, very simple. Number one, gunah se muhafazat. Staying safe from sin. But for that, asbab-e gunah se mubaadat. And if he wants to stay safe from sin, there is no way but to stay far away from the means of the sin. If a person is going to be close to the fire, he's going to feel the heat. So now if he wants to stay safe from sin, he's going to have to keep himself far away from the means of the sin. And zikrullah par mudawamat. Keeping very constant on the remembrance and the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The tasbihat, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the ma'mulat that are prescribed, and all the various other amal. And nek dosto ki musahabat. Keeping good company, keeping the company of the pious, of the ahlullah. Staying away from bad company. Company is not confined to human company. That phone also is a company and can be the worst company for a person. It can be worse than any other human company. So, this is that lesson Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, wal yasa'ka baytuk. And then the third thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wabki ala khati'atik. That cry over your sins. Wabki ala khati'atik, this tawbah and istighfar. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the virtue of istighfar, the rewards of istighfar. Istaghfiru rabbakum, innahu kana ghaffara, yursilis sama'a alaykum midrara. Among the various benefits of istighfar, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala will shower the rains down upon you. This drought, etc. Allah Ta'ala will shower the rains down. So Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, there's two rains and there's two lands. With the barakat of istighfar, one is the rain that comes from the skies and the heavens and it quenches the ground, the earth, which brings forth then all the vegetation and whatever other good that benefits insan, benefits the animals. And then there's the rain of the tawfiq that comes from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and rains down on the land of the heart of insan. And when this tawfiq, rain of tawfiq comes, then this brings out the good amal. When the rain comes from the heavens onto the ground, then the beautiful flowers come and the wonderful fruit comes through. With the barakat of istighfar, when this rain of tawfiq, this special blessing from the side of Allah Ta'ala will come. This will rain down onto the heart of this person making istighfar. This will then bring out the beautiful amal. So this is the prescription Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving. Wabki ala khati'atik. Repent, make tawbah, make istighfar. Cry to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our istighfar, number one, whether we make istighfar, that's a big question. How much we make, that's another question. And when we do make istighfar, how much of the heart is in it? Allah Ta'ala's name is very great. Gangohi Rahimahullah, his very famous statement is that Allah Ta'ala's name is so great, no matter what degree of ghaflat also a person takes the name of Allah Ta'ala in, it won't go without benefit. That is in its place, 100%. Allah Ta'ala's name is tremendous. That too is a very great blessing that Allah Ta'ala allowed a person's tongue to move in his name. But to the extent that the heart will be with it, to the extent that it will come from the depths of the heart, that istighfar will emanate deep down, to that extent it will bring down this tawfiq. To that extent it will transform the heart. To that extent it will wash the heart out. And it will make it part of that qalb-e saleem. That qalb-e saleem, that purified heart, that without this a person will not be accepted on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. This is the dua Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What a great Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he is making dua to Allah ta'ala. And this is mentioned as part of his dua. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Can we imagine this istighfar? Who makes istighfar? The person who is worried about the day of Qiyamah. He is worried about his akhirat. Worried about his dunya also. But worried more about his qabr. Worried more about the day of Qiyamah. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam being masoom, sinless. They had no concern for the akhirat, no need for concern for the akhirat. Yet they were more concerned than everybody. And Ibrahim is making dua. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Ya Allah, do not cause me any humiliation and disgrace when the entire creation will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, save me from the disgrace of that day. One is the disgrace of dunya. The disgrace of dunya, no person wants to ever face it. Allah Ta'ala protect us. But the disgrace of dunya is very, very minute compared to the disgrace of akhirat. Can we imagine the day of Qiyamah and somebody is now being called up and everything is now being opened out. And who's there? The whole creation is there. All those who knew him are all there. His parents are there. His own children are there. Those who he was ducking and diving from are all there. And now whatever was in the heart is all being revealed. What things were going through the heart about what? Who the person was harboring malice for? And who he was jealous over? And who he was now plotting and planning against? What kind of filth was lurking in there? What actions he did? What he was now up to behind the scenes, quietly going about things? He thought nobody was seeing, nobody was aware. Imagine Allah forbid all this gets opened out on the day of Qiyamah. So the person who is concerned about being safe from the disgrace of the day of Qiyamah, he'll be making dua. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Ya Allah, don't put me to humiliation on the day of Qiyamah. Forgive me before that. And save me from such actions. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day when nobody would be able to get any help from anything. لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Neither his wealth nor his children will be of any help to him. Generally, it is one of these two things that are of the greatest help to a person. When a person is in a situation, either his wealth or his children, his family. When this won't be of any help, what help will anything else be? It's actually an expression of negating help from anything and everything. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except the person who comes to Allah Ta'ala with a pure heart. Pure heart. That's what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. This is a lesson of today. To focus on purifying this heart from all the things that are soiling it. Allah Ta'ala wants us to come with this pure heart on the day of Qiyamah. We sometimes feel very good about ourselves. This is how I am, and this is, I'm doing this and that, so I'm very good. There's one example which the Mashaykh often gave. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali used to often mention this example. There's a saying in Persian, Pya kisko chahe suhagan wahi. There was one girl who was now going to be getting married. So now, like the things happened that now when the time for that wedding came, so everybody came to help her now to get adorned and so on, and they are making her up, etc. So now everybody started praising her. Really looking very well, looking very good, and so on and so forth. So she started crying. So now they are surprised. Obviously we're talking, for some now this might wonder, but how does this tie up? Because we are living in a very different zamana. We are talking about the zamana where perhaps the first time now that the husband would see his bride would be after the nikah. Not that this is how it must be in the Hadith Sharif. The person has been advised that if he is interested in getting married to somebody, he must take one look at her. But here, forget taking one look. Allah knows best what has happened. So in any case, so now she started crying. So they're asking her, what's the problem? Everybody's praising you. Everybody's praising you, you crying. Is this something to cry over? She said, no, I'm not crying over your praising me. I'm crying over the issue that your praises are of no worth if when finally I'm presented to my husband, he doesn't like me. What good is going to be all your praises then? And if none of you praised me, but when I'm presented in front of him and he approves, then nobody else praised me also didn't matter. So that's my concern. What's going to be the outcome there? Now this is the Mashaykh's lesson to us. That the whole world can praise us, whatever else. We can feel good about ourselves. The issue is how we're going to fare on the day of Qiyamah. When you're going to be presented in front of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when the whole heart will now be opened out. And all the secrets will become open. And everything now will be laid bare. How will we fare on that day? That is the time to be concerned about. Then how it seemed we were in dunya is not going to be of any use to us. What is going to be the position on the day of Qiyamah? So that is what we have to prepare for. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to come with. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Just to finish off on one incident from the Hadith Sharif, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, once we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, soon a person will pass by from among the people of Jannah. He is among the people of Jannah. So he says, suddenly we see one person from the Ansar walking past. His beard was dripping with the water of wudusl. He had his shoes in his left hand. And he just walked past. So looked like a very simple, ordinary person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement. So obviously, this is a person who's been given the glad tidings of Jannah. The next day, again the gathering is around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he makes the same statement. Soon a person is going to pass by who is among the people of Jannah. And again the same sahabi passes by. The third day, the same thing happens. When 3 days in a row the same thing happened, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says that this was now something that was just overcame me. I must know what is special in this person. 3 days in a row, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving this glad tidings of Jannah for him. So he comes to him and makes some excuse. I've got some problem at home. My father, can I just spend the days with you, 3 days? He said, by all means, come. So he comes and stays with him for 3 days, 3 nights. He's observing carefully. What's so special? What does this person do? Maybe he doesn't sleep the whole night. He's probably doing some very special ibadat. He observes him and he sees, well, nothing extraordinary. When from time to time in the night, when suddenly he just stirs from his sleep, he takes the name of Allah Ta'ala, and nothing that anybody else was not doing, everybody was doing what he was doing. Maybe others were doing more than him. What's so special about him? After 3 days, finally he says that, I actually started thinking a little less about him. You know what, there's nothing special about this man. I wonder what happened. So in any case, now when he decided to leave, he says to him, look, that was just an excuse I made. I got no problem, nothing at home. I just came here to observe you. And the reason why I came to observe you was that 3 days in a row, this is what happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this glad tiding. Person is going to pass by from among the people of Jannah and you came past. The second day the same thing. The third day the same thing. What do you do? What's so special about you? So he says, ma huwa illa ma ra'ayt. You saw for yourself. There's nothing about me. I do what you do. It's only what you have seen. There's nothing else but what you have seen. So he was now confused. In any case, he turned to leave. He says, as he turned to leave, the person called him back. And he says, whatever you saw, that is it. Nothing else. But yes, there's, apart from that, there's no malice in my heart for anyone. There's no malice in my heart for anyone. And I don't have any hasad and jealousy over anybody for what Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with. So, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu replies and says that this is what has taken you to that point. This is it. This cleanliness of the heart. This clean heart is what Allah Ta'ala loves. And a person walking on earth with this clean heart is being given the glad tidings of Jannah. So this is prescription that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. This is what we have to take to heart. This is that effort we have to make. This qalb salim, to purify this heart, fill this heart with the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make our hearts that kind of heart, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala accepts us. Allah ta'ala forgives us, and Allah ta'ala enters us with his Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the sahaba ikram, the siddiqeen, the shuhada and salihin. Allah Ta'ala enters us into Jannat al-Firdaus. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us and grant us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and then dua, inshaAllah. It is reported in the Hadith Sharif, the person who recites La ilaha illallah 100 times daily, Allah Ta'ala will cause his face to shine like the 14th moon on the day of Qiyamah. What this means is, inshaAllah, with the barakat of this daily recitation, Allah Ta'ala will give him the tawfiq of good deeds and save him from sin. This will grant him this great honor. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making this a part of our daily program, inshallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله عم نواله. Allah Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين إله العالمين يا الله most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah إله العالمين يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله indeed we are your most sinful servants يا الله from head to toe we are covered in sin يا الله but you are أرحم الراحمين يا الله you are غفور الرحيم يا الله يا الله you love forgiving يا الله إله العالمين forgive us يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله forgive the sins of the day and night يا الله forgive what we did deliberately and mistakenly يا الله forgive our families يا الله forgive our friends and relatives يا الله forgive the ummah of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا الله شوي مغفرة الأمة يا الله شوي رحمة الأمة يا الله يا الله remove the suffering and pain of the ummah يا الله remove the hardships of the ummah يا الله throughout the world wherever the Muslims are suffering remove their pain and hardship ya Allah ya Allah remove the oppression from the Muslims ya Allah ilahul alamin hold back the hands of the oppressors ya Allah grant them hidayat ya Allah ya Allah if hidayat is not decreed for them ya Allah wipe them out from the face of this earth ya Allah ilahul alamin ya Allah we acknowledge whatever is happening is due to our sins ya Allah ya Allah forgive us ya Allah grant us and the entire ummah the tawfiq of those amal that bring down rahmat ya Allah save us and the entire ummah from such things that bring down azab ya Allah ilahul alamin ya Allah. Allah, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, the kuffar hurt him, ya Allah. They persecuted him, ya Allah. Ya Allah, they caused his Mubarak blood to flow, ya Allah. Ya Allah, they said all kinds of hurtful things to him, ya Allah. Ya Allah, but what a tragedy, ya Allah. Ya Allah, today those who are taking his name, ya Allah, those who claim to be following him, ya Allah. Ya Allah, when our amal are being presented to him, ya Allah, what kind of hurt we are causing to his Mubarak heart, ya Allah.
Ya Allah, you forgive us this, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from this causing this hurt to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq of those amal that will become a means of the coolness of his Mubarak heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from sending such amal that will become a means of pain to him, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, forgive this great injustice of ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah, Ya Allah. Give us a tawfiq of those amal that which you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a tawfiq of all that which you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that you are displeased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love of his Mubarak deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the love of the Mubarak sunnah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to live the Mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant us istiqamat on deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the evils and vices, Ya Allah. Grant us a tawfiq of performing our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. Grant us khushu and khudu in our salah, Ya Allah. Enable us to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif daily, Ya Allah. Enable us to make your dhikr all the time, Ya Allah. Enable us to be in your remembrance forever, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, save us from ghaflat, Ya Allah. Remove this ghaflat from our hearts, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your remembrance, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamilha, ajilha, mustamirra, daima. Ya Allah, remove every taste of their illnesses, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those who are in any kind of difficulties and hardships, remove it, Ya Allah. Those who are in financial problems, remove it, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant us halal and tayyib risk, Ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram, Ya Allah. Save us from that which is doubtful also, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant us barakat in our lives, Ya Allah. Barakat in our health, Ya Allah. Barakat in our wealth, Ya Allah. Barakat in our families, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us barakat in every aspect, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are, Ya Allah, who have passed away, make their complete maghfirat, Ya Allah. Fill their qabars with noor, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, at the time of awad, they take us with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, take us with tawbatan nasuh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us at a time you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you, Ya Allah. Make our qabars gardens of Jannah for us, Ya Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this, Ya Allah, time and age, Ya Allah, the fitnas are engulfing us from every direction, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, only if you save us, we can be saved, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us in your protection, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep our families in your protection, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep the entire ummah in your protection, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, enable us to live the, Ya Allah, beautiful lessons that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to keep control of our tongues at all times, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, let our homes be sufficient for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq of sincere tawbah and istighfar, Ya Allah. And you grant us your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. All those who have raised their hands to this dua, Ya Allah. You are the know of each one's needs, Ya Allah. You are the know of each one's cry, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill each one's dies needs from the grave, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Fill each one's heart with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant us nisbat of the awliya siddiqeen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your true lovers, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.